Trinadapi suniche natarodiva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Before reciting Srimad Bhagavad Gita, I must remember that my mood must be one of humility and meekness. I must be more tolerant than a tree. I have to give respect to all living entities because Krishna is within the heart. And I must not give any consideration for others respecting me or acknowledging me or anything like that. I'm simply here to glorify Krishna. There should be no other desire. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. 5,000 years ago, when Krishna left this planet Earth and returned to his own abode, the age of Kali began. The age of Kali is known as the age of quarrel and confusion, argument, needless argument. Nobody gets along. Everybody has their own opinion, especially when it comes to religion. The people in general are very slow, lazy when it comes to spiritual life. And especially their minds are always disturbed. Therefore, in this age of Kali, when everyone is born Sudra or less than Sudra, there is only one way for advancement, only one way for perfection, only one way for true actual happiness. The holy name, the holy name, the holy name of God. And who is God? Krishna. Thank you very much. Krishna Twadiya Padapangaja Pancharandham Adyaiva Me Vishatumanasa Raja Hansa Prana Prayana Samaye Kapfata Pittai Kandhava Rodana Vido Smaranangutaste. My spiritual master used to sometimes chant this verse from the Mukunda Mala Stotra by King Kulashekar. The meaning, my Lord Krishna, I pray that the swan of my mind may immediately sink down to the stems of your lotus feet and be locked up in your network. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my mind and throat is choked up with cough, how will it be possible to think of you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We are currently studying the Bhagavad Gita as it is given to us by the founder Acharya of ISKCON, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And we are in the 18th chapter entitled Conclusion, the Perfection of Renunciation. We already learned earlier that Prabhupada says Bhagavad Gita is finished in 17 chapters. This 18th chapter is a re-summarization. The summary was already given in chapter 2. And now this is the re-summarization. Let us begin. We left off on text number 21. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Please repeat. Pritak Vena Tuyaj Gyanam. Nana Bhavan Pritak Vidhan.
Nana Bhavan Pritak Vidhan.
Veti Sarveshu Bhuteshu.
Veti Sarveshu
Bhuteshu. Tadgyanam Vidirajasam.
Tadgyanam
Vidirajasam. Let's do the synonyms again, please repeat. Pritak
Vena.
Because of division.
Because of division.
Two. But. Yat. Which. Gyanam. Knowledge. Nana bhavan. Multifarious situations. Prithak
vidhan.
Different. Veti. Knows. Sarveshu. In all. Bhuteshu. Living entities. Tat. That. Gyanam. Knowledge. Vidhi. Must be known. Rajasam. In terms of passion. Please repeat. That knowledge. By which one sees. That in every different body. There is a different type of living entity. You should understand to be. In the mode of passion. Now we will read Prabhupada's purport. The concept that the material body is the living entity and that with the destruction of the body, the consciousness is also destroyed is called knowledge in the mode of passion. According to that knowledge, bodies differ from one another because of the development of different types of consciousness. Otherwise, there is no separate soul which manifests consciousness. The body is itself the soul, and there is no separate soul beyond the body. According to such knowledge, consciousness is temporary. Or else, there are no individual souls, but there is an all-pervading soul which is full of knowledge, and this body is a manifestation of temporary ignorance. Or, beyond this body, there is no special individual or supreme soul. All such conceptions are considered products of the actual previous verse. The actual understanding was presented. It is the understanding that is there in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, indeed, the conclusion of all the Vedic literatures. As we already learned in chapter 13, in each body there are two knowers of the field. There are two souls. There is the individual soul, and that individual soul in quality is the same in every body. There is one kind of soul known as jiva, jivatma. But it's not a different thing. Each soul is the same quality. And then besides the individual knower of the body, besides the individual soul, as we learned in chapter 13, there is another knower. There is another soul. And the difference is I, you, we all know our own individual field of activities, namely this body, but that other soul, who is also of the same quality as that individual soul, they're both of the same quality, but that other knower, that other soul is superior, is supreme, and he knows everything that's going on in everybody. That is the difference between God and the individual soul. That distinction we already learned in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and it is a very important concept of Bhagavad Gita. The jiva can never become param atma. It is impossible. The jiva will always be jiva atma. And God, the Supreme, is always param atma, in the superior position. As we also learned at the end of chapter 15, if you recall, in the final section of chapter 15, Krishna told us that everybody here in the material world is fallible. They make mistakes. And then he said, in the spiritual world, everyone is infallible. But then Krishna said, I am Purushottama. I am beyond both the fallible and the infallible. That's the distinction. So a true knower of Bhagavad Gita will never make that mistake of equalizing the living entity equally in all respects with God. As soon as there is an understanding that the individual soul is equal in all respects with God, one becomes actually an atheist. No, that can never be. Now, we learned from Advaita Acharya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the individual living soul can actually enjoy more than God. Because the ability to serve God is higher than being God. Which is why God wants to take the position of being his own servant. That's why Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And why Lord Balaram became Nityananda. And Mahavishnu became Advaita. Yes. Because they very well know, we want to taste that special ecstasy that is unknown to us in the position of being God. Because it is the lesson, very early lesson, of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Krishna looks at Srimati Radharani and sees that she enjoys more than him. And he can't understand it. And he wants to know, what is she experiencing when she serves me? And what is it about me that she loves so much? As Krishna, this understanding, no es posible, as they say in Espanol. So in order for him to understand it, he has to take her position. That is how to understand Lord Chaitanya. Krishna trying to understand himself. Just as you who are married, you husbands can never understand what it's like being married to you. You don't have that experience. Your wives can try to tell you what it's like being blissfully married to you. But you'll never, just like men, you will never understand what it's like to give birth to a child. You can see it. You can imagine it, you can emphasize, but unless that came out of you, you're never going to understand. But the ladies, they know fully well what that experience was, one time, two times, three times, however many times. Yes. Yes?
So you mentioned in the beginning that all the individual souls, they're qualitatively same.
Yes.
Right? But they're still individual.
They're still individual. Yes.
So there is some difference between them?
Okay. There's lots of difference, but not in intrinsic quality. There is a difference. Why? Because each one has a unique personality and a constitutional unique position of service to Krishna. That's why we exist. The question is sometimes raised, why do we even exist? This is like a, you know, all theosophists ask this question. Why do I even exist? And the answer, according to Srila Prabhupada, is we exist simply to exchange love with God. That's why we exist. And then Prabhupada will give the example. You have two children. You have three children. You had children in order to share your love. And you had children in order to increase your happiness. That's the idea. You didn't have children and decided one day, let's have children so we could suffer. No, that wasn't your intention. Although sometimes that's the way it turns out. But the intention was, let us have this child so that we can increase our happiness, our pleasure. So, Eko Bahusyam is the Vedic mantra. The One Supreme Lord expanded himself into the many to increase his pleasure. He already is enjoying unlimited pleasure, but he wants to increase it unlimitedly. Therefore, there are an unlimited, uncountable number of living entities. And their function is to exchange a relationship of love with God. Very good. Shall we go to the next verse? All in favor say Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Text 22. Yattu Krishna vad ekasmin. Karye saktam ahaitukam. Atavarta vad alpancha. Tatamasam udahritam. Synonyms. Yat, that which, to, but, kritsnavat, as all in all, ekasmin, in one, karye, work, saktam, attached, ahoitukam, without cause, atatva arthavat, without knowledge of reality. Alpam, very meager. Cha, and. Tat, that. Tamasam, in the mode of darkness. Udaritam, is said to be. Please repeat. And that knowledge, by which one is attached to one kind of work, as the all in all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. So in chapter 14, we were introduced to a summary of the three modes of nature. In chapters 16 and 17, we learned even more about the modes of nature. And in the first half of chapter 18, again, everything that Krishna's been describing has been in terms of the modes of nature, because that is how this material world is designed by him. It's all, everything is organized by the three modes of nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Now, this line, without knowledge of the truth, in the very beginning of chapter 15, we were given a description of reality and the reflection. The reality is in this spiritual world. And this material world was compared to the reflection of a tree on the bank, on the lake. The tree is there. And when reflected on the lake, it's upside down. If you're standing here looking at a tree, the tree reflected in the lake or pond is upside down. That is how this material world is described to us by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. And therefore, this term, perverted reflection. Up is down, down is up. What is good is actually bad, and what is bad is actually good. It's a conundrum wrapped inside of an enigma. That's this material world. And even Krishna said in chapter 15 that even though you won't be able to figure out its root, how it all began, still you have to cut it. And how do you do that? With the sword of knowledge. Something our friend Kamlesh hammers on a daily basis. Yes. In fact, Lord Chaitanya told Prakashananda Saraswati and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, all the Vedas are only teaching three things. What is your connection, relationship with Krishna, which you have forgotten because it's eternal? How should you act in terms of that understanding that you're the eternal servant of Krishna? And then, what is the fruit? What is the result of that? What is the ultimate goal of religion? Love of God. And it was Lord Chaitanya's teaching. In Hinduism, you have dharma, artha, kam, moksha. Apart from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, most people think dharma, artha, moksha. That's it. The whole purpose is to get liberated. But Lord Chaitanya says, no, there's something beyond liberation. Beyond liberation is love of God. And if you were to ask Haridas Thakur, because he was once preaching, Haridas was once preaching to some Hindu people, some Brahmins, that liberation, moksha, is insignificant byproduct of chanting. What? And he was challenged by one Gopal. You say that liberation is an insignificant byproduct of chanting, where it takes most people millions of lifetimes to become liberated, and you're saying it's an insignificant byproduct? Not only that, Haridas said, even in the second stage of chanting, Nam Bhas, which is not even pure chanting, you're already liberated. So Gopal got very agitated and said, I curse you that your nose will fall off because what you're speaking is bogus. And Haridas Thakur said, sure, if what I'm saying is bogus, my nose should come off. But what happened? Gopal's nose came off. He was attacked by leprosy because he blasphemed Haridas Thakur. Because Haridas Thakur spoke on the basis of Shastra, quoting from the Ajamil Katha, quoting from the Bhagavatam. Yes, and therefore Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is, beyond liberation is love of God. Love of God is the real religion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Let us look at the purport by Srila Prabhupada. The knowledge of the common man is always in the mode of darkness or ignorance, because every living entity in conditional life is born into the mode of ignorance. Right? That mantra, Om Ajnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. The description is there in the third canto. How the child in the womb comes out and it's crying. And while it was in the womb, it was being bitten. The tender body of the embryo was being bitten by worms and all kinds of things in the mother's stomach. And when she eats hot chilies, onions and garlic and all kinds of nasty food, the child has to suffer from all that. Yes. And so the child at the seventh month prays to Krishna, please get me out of here. Because the child, Kapila says, the child is like a bird in a cage. The back is like this, the head is down, you're cramped inside the mother's womb. The child is praying, Krishna, please, if you get me out of here safely, I promise I'll worship you. But what happens? Soon as it comes out of the womb, no more Krishna. You forget your promise. And everybody picks you up. Ooh, you're so wonderful. You start to, yes, I'm wonderful. Everybody loves me. That's why Lord Chaitanya says, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up. Wake up. Okay. One who does not develop knowledge through the authorities or scriptural injunctions has knowledge that is limited to the body. He is not concerned about acting in terms of the directions of scripture. For him, God is money, and knowledge means the satisfaction of bodily demands. Such knowledge has no connection with the absolute truth. It is more or less like the knowledge of the ordinary animals, the knowledge of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating. Such knowledge is described here as the product of the mode of darkness. In other words, knowledge concerning the spirit soul beyond this body is called knowledge of the mode of goodness. And what do we learn? First thing in Bhagavad Gita is exactly that. That's why Bhagavad Gita is so important. It is the beginning of transcendental education, Bhagavad Gita. Right there from chapter 2, Krishna is simply describing, as it says here, knowledge in the mode of goodness. Because that's the first thing. You are beyond your body. You are spirit soul. The spirit soul, knowledge concerning the spirit soul beyond this body is called knowledge in the mode of goodness. Knowledge producing many theories and doctrines by dint of mundane logic and mental speculation is product of the mode of passion, and knowledge concerned only with keeping the body comfortable is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, America is the country of the mode of ignorance. Because what's on the TV? Knowledge of the soul beyond the body? I don't see any shows on TV. Whether you've got HBO, all the others, all the billions of channels. What are all those channels? What are they showing? How to keep the body. And every commercial, it's all about the body. Some beautiful woman telling you how to enjoy the body. Welcome to America. Tamogun Loka. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So, at this Hare Hare.